Whiskey Jack scratched an armpit. He was wearing blue jeans and an undershirt the gray of his hair. He wore moccasins, and he seemed not to notice the cold. Then he said,
"I like it here. Come in, white men who lost their Winnebago."
There was more wood smoke in the air inside the trailer, and there was another man in there sitting at a table. The man wore stained buckskins and was barefoot. His skin was the color of bark. Wednesday seemed delighted.
"Well, it seems our delay was fortuitous. Whiskey Jack and Apple Johnny. Two birds with one stone."
The man at the table, Apple Johnny, stared at Wednesday, then he reached down a hand to his crotch, cupped it, and said,
"Wrong again. I just checked, and I got both of my stones just where they ought to be."
He looked up at Shadow, raised his hand, palm out.
"I'm John Chapman. You don't mind anything your boss says about me. He's an asshole. Always was an asshole. Always gonna be an asshole. Some people is just assholes, and that's an end of it."
"Mike Ainsel," said Shadow.
Chapman rubbed his stubbly chin.
"Ainsel? That's not a name. But he'll do at a pinch. What do they call you?"
"Shadow."
"I call you Shadow, then. Hey, Whiskey Jack."
But it wasn't really Whiskey Jack he was saying, Shadow realized. Too many syllables.
"How's the food looking?"
Whiskey Jack took a wooden spoon and lifted the lid off a black iron pot, bubbling away on the range of the wood-burning stove.
"It's ready for eating."
He took four plastic bowls and spooned the contents of the pot into the bowls, put them down on the table. Then he opened the door, stepped out into the snow, and pulled a plastic gallon jug from the snowbank. He brought it inside and poured four large glasses of a cloudy yellow-brown liquid, which he put beside each bowl. Last of all, he found four spoons. He sat down at the table with the other men. Wednesday raised his glass suspiciously.
"Looks like piss. You still drinking that stuff?"
asked Whiskey Jack.
"You white men are crazy. This is better."
Then to Shadow.
"The stew is mostly wild turkey. John here brought the applejack."
"It's a soft apple cider,"
said John Chapman.
"I never believed in hard liquor. Makes men mad."
The stew was delicious, and it was very good apple cider. Shadow forced himself to slow down, to chew his food, not to gulp it, but he was more hungry than he would have believed. He helped himself to a second bowl of the stew and a second glass of the cider.
"Dame Rumor says that you've been out talking to all manner of folk, offering them all manner of things. Says you're taking the old folks on a warpath,"
said John Chapman. Shadow and Whiskey Jack were washing up, putting the leftover stew into Tupperware bowls. Whiskey Jack put the bowls into the snowdrifts outside his front door and put a milk crate on top of the place he'd pushed them so he could find them again.
"I think that's a fair and judicious summary of events,"
said Wednesday.
"They will win,"
said Whiskey Jack flatly.
"They won already. You lost already. Like the white man and my people. They won. And when they lost, they made treaties. Then they broke the treaties. And they won again. I'm not fighting for another lost cause."
"And it's no use you looking at me,"
said John Chapman.
"For even if I fought for you, which and I won't, I'm no use to you. Mangy rat-tailed bastards just pick me off and clean forgot me."
He stopped. Then he said,
"Paul Bunyan."
He shook his head slowly and he said it again.
"Paul Bunyan."
Shadow had never heard two such innocuous words made to sound so damning.
Paul Bunyan? What did he ever do?
"He took up headspace,"
said Whiskey Jack. He bummed a cigarette from Wednesday, and the two men sat and smoked.
"It's like the idiots who figure that hummingbirds worry about their weight or tooth decay or some such nonsense. Maybe they just want to spare hummingbirds the evils of sugar. So they fill the hummingbird feeders with fucking NutraSweet. The birds come to the feeders and they drink it. Then they die. Because their food contains no calories, even though their little tummies are full. That's Paul Bunyan for you. Nobody ever told Paul Bunyan stories. Nobody ever believed in Paul Bunyan. He came staggering out of a New York ad agency in 1910 and filled the nation's myth stomach with empty calories.
I like Paul Bunyan,
said Whiskey Jack.
I went on his ride at the Mall of America a few years back. You see big old Paul Bunyan at the top, then you come crashing down. Splash. He's okay by me. I don't mind that he never existed. Means he never cut down any trees. Not as good as planting trees, though. That's better.
You said a mouthful,
said Johnny Chapman. Wednesday blew a smoke ring. It hung in the air like something from a Warner Brothers cartoon, dissipating slowly in wisps and curls.
Damn it, Whiskey Jack, that's not the point, and you know it.
I'm not going to help you. When you get your ass kicked, you can come back here, and if I'm still here, I'll feed you again. You get the best food in the fall.
All the alternatives are worse.
You have no idea what the alternatives are.
Then he looked at Shadow.
You are hunting.
His voice was cigarette roughened, and it resonated in that space, smoky with leaking wood smoke and cigarettes.
I'm working.
Whiskey Jack shook his head.
You are also hunting something. There is a debt that you wish to pay.
Shadow thought of Laura's blue lips and the blood on her hands, and he nodded.
Listen, Fox was here first, and his brother was the wolf. Fox said, people will live forever. If they die, they will not die for long. Wolf said, no, people will die. People must die. All things that live must die, or they will spread and cover the world, and eat all the salmon and the caribou and the buffalo, eat all the squash and all the corn. Now, one day, Wolf died, and he said to the fox, quick, bring me back to life. And Fox said, no, the dead must stay dead. You convinced me. And he wept as he said this. But he said it, and it was final. Now Wolf rules the world of the dead, and Fox lives always under the sun and the moon, and he still mourns his brother.
If you won't play, you won't play. We'll be moving on.
Whiskey Jack's face was impassive.
I'm talking to this young man. You are beyond help. He is not.
He turned back to Shadow.
You know, you cannot come to me here unless I wish it.
Shadow realized that he did know this.
Yes.
Tell me your dream.
I was climbing a tower of skulls. There were huge birds flying around it. They had lightning in their wings. They were attacking me. The tower fell.
Everybody dreams. Can we hit the road?
Not everybody dreams of the Walk-in-Yaw, the Thunderbirds. We felt the echoes of it here.
I told you,
said Wednesday.
Jesus!
There's a clutch of Thunderbirds in West Virginia,
said Chapman idly.
A couple of hens and an old cockbird at least. There's also a breeding pair in the land. They used to call it the State of Franklin. But old Ben never got his state, up between Kentucky and Tennessee. Of course, there was never a great number of them, even at the best of times.
Whiskey Jack reached out a hand the color of the red clay, and he touched Shadow's face gently. His irises were light brown, banded with dark brown, and in that face, those eyes seemed luminous.
Yeah, it's true. If you hunt the Thunderbird, you could bring your woman back. But she belongs to the wolf, in the dead places, not walking the land.
How do you know?
Whiskey Jack's lips did not move.
What did the buffalo tell you?
To believe.
Good advice. Are you going to follow it?
Kind of. I guess.
They were talking without words, without mouths, without sound. Shadow wondered if, for the other two men in the room, they were standing, unmoving, for a heartbeat or for a fraction of a heartbeat.